Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Over the past months, you've had a variety of men on this pulpit preaching the word. Next month, Pastor Sutton will be installed to pastor here and to preach the word. But aside from us who have been ordained into the preaching ministry, what about each and every one of you? The world today is so different in so many ways than it was in Paul's days, especially in view of the advances that we see in technology and especially transportation. And yet, in many other ways, this world is very much the same. People are still people. They still make mistakes. They still commit sins. They still face a great many sorrows that are confronted, and they have any number of fears. Nations distrust nations. They go to war to protect their interests. Death still remains a very large part of our life. And the same questions concerning life beyond death haunt the minds of men and women who do not yet know the Lord. What might the Apostle Paul say if he was with us here today? I would imagine that he might share with us the very words that he wrote in our text. They were, after all, among his final words, words which were originally written to provide guidance for young Timothy. Paul urged Timothy to continue in what you have learned and to preach the word at all times and under every circumstance, so that as many as possible might be convinced of God's truth, admonished when necessary by those truths, and patiently instructed so that they may properly apply those truths. Consequently, if the Apostle Paul were here, I believe he would encourage us to continue to preach God's holy word. He would urge us to do so because it saves, because it equips. He would urge us to do so even though it is absolutely opposed. It is God and his word that saves. Paul says, continue in what you have learned and firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it. From childhood you've been acquainted with the sacred writings, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Timothy had known that Paul depended upon Paul had depended upon Paul's advice and his guidance for many years. But within a short time, Paul would no longer be there. To whom or to what should Timothy refer to in the future when he needed guidance? Paul told him to continue in and to hold on to that which he had learned from his study of the Bible and the instructions that he had received. Timothy was raised by two God-fearing women, his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice. They had instructed him in the commands and the promises of God's Old Testament scriptures. Timothy knew the difference between right or wrong from the family instruction of God's law. Now, Timothy first learned about Jesus as his Savior through the preaching of the Apostle Paul when Paul came to Galatia and preached the gospel in Timothy's hometown of Lystra. The Holy Spirit had already created faith in Timothy's heart through his word and his faithful mother and grandmother that they had shared with him as a child. The Holy Spirit had informed and strengthened that faith through the preaching of the gospel by Paul. The message that Timothy received was the means that the Holy Spirit used to save him, to bring him out of the darkness of sin and into the light of God's grace and into God's kingdom. From little on, he had known and he had also learned of God's grace and mercy was to be revealed from a Savior. Paul had brought that news of that Savior, Jesus Christ, who had lived for Timothy, had died for Timothy. And so he, Timothy, might have hope in this life and hope in eternal salvation in the life to come. The same things can be said for each and every one of us today. Many of us had faithful parents and grandparents who nurtured us with the words of God found in the Bible. We have been instructed by faithful ministers of the Word so that the faith that the Holy Spirit created in our very young hearts, it's been informed, it's been strengthened, that continues on. And God would have us continue in that Word. He would have us cling to it. He would have us, each and every one of you, to proclaim it. Because, as the Scriptures say, God, our Savior, desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Dear people of God, there is nothing greater that any of us can do than to talk and tell about God's Word, to preach it. Because when we do, we are offering relatives and friends and neighbors and even mere acquaintances and outright strangers, we're offering the gift of life. So, let us not grow weary and let us not lose sight of the fact that all people who do not believe in Jesus as their Savior, they're still walking in darkness. They are lost souls. They are doomed to eternal destruction no matter what their outward circumstances appear to be in this world right now. The world, if you watch it in Italy, the news that was going on here, we know how bad it is. The world by nature is sick. We have a cure. Therefore, let us to preach God's Word because it saves. Let us also preach it because God's Word equips. Paul explains why God's Word is so important and so powerful when he says, all Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. The Bible is inspired by God. That is, God breathed the thoughts, words, minds of its writers, so that we as we read it today, it reveals the very thoughts and the words of God Himself. Why is it important? It is important because God wants us to be able to live our lives with confidence. And we can only do that if we are certain that what we believe is absolutely true. Why is this so important today? It is important today because the world wants us to believe that all religious beliefs are merely personal opinion, valid only to those who hold them. Consequently, the world claims that religious truth is not truth, but rather merely a reflection of our personal values, values which are useful for guiding an individual in his or her life, but which cannot be applied in any absolute sense to the general society. And now that simply is not true. Oh, sure, the Word of God establishes a core set of values which, if treasured, enriches our lives. But the Word of God also establishes absolute truth, a moral standard of right and wrong, the proper identification of the true God, and the accurate understanding of the human condition and God's plan of its remedy. Consequently, God's Word, it certainly saves, but in addition, it equips us to fulfill everything that God would have us to do. This is what Paul means when he says the Bible is profitable for teaching. It reveals God's nature to be triune, made up of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It shows how He has chosen to work through the means of grace, the gospel in word and in sacrament. It confronts us with the awful fact that we are all by nature dead in our trespasses and sins, and therefore we are unable to save ourselves. And it claims the joyous that God has loved us in Christ and delivered us from sin, death, and Satan through Jesus' redemptive work. And that same word is then profitable for reproof and for correction. We are oftentimes misled by the world around us and that old Adam that's within us because We certainly misuse God's name. We eat too much. We drink too much. We allow improper books, magazines, or videos to excite our lust. We take things that are not ours. Anger to move us and to hurt and harm others by the words and our actions that we use. And you younger folks, you rebel against your parents. In such situations, God's word, it reproves and it corrects us. This is not easy for our human pride, but it's necessary for genuine repentance. The word of God is profitable for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. Are you uncertain about what you should do in any given situation, or what you should say to a certain person, or what God expects you to do and make decisions that will affect your life and the life of lives of others? Just turn to His holy word. God promises that if you apply that word faithfully in your lives, you will be equipped to do everything that God expects you to do. In honoring God by keeping His words, you will find blessings abundantly. The psalmist says, "Delight yourself in the Lord, and He shall give you the desires of your hearts." Let us continue to preach God's word because it equips. And let us do so fully aware that it is being opposed. Paul informed Timothy that the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. Who are the they that's referred to in this text? Well, they're people. They're the vast majority of people in this world, and unfortunately, also many who would profess to follow the Christian faith. Now, I'm usually accused of painting with a far too big of a brush, at least by my grandchildren. But those Christian denominations that don't get headship correct, they not only have women in their pulpits, but they are virtually the same denominations accepting known homosexuals to be in their pulpits preaching God's word. They're also Christians accepting abortion and rape and incest, along with the whole host of other politically correct social issues. Ignore God's word totally. Well, for society, that might all be the way. It might be that way, but we of the Missouri Synod, we believe that the Bible is God's inspired and inerrant word. Verse 16, all scripture is breathed out by God. The entire Bible written down by men under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit without any errors, none. Believing what the Bible says brings salvation, and it is the guide and it directs our lives. Bible truths are not always popular and frequently bring criticisms from the world. So much so that Christians then sometimes begin to compromise those truths because they fear the opposition of the world. An opposition that is real and often vocal, sometimes violent. You've all heard the criticisms. The Bible affirms the gift of life, and then that's when we're opposed to embryonic stem cell research. Then we'll be called narrow-minded, we'll be called ignorant. When the Bible defines marriage as a lifelong union between one man and one woman, as opposed to a union of two men or two women, then we're called evil, we're called bigoted. When we suggest that the physical evidence that's found within our universe provides exact evidence that God is the creator of a worldwide flood, we're called fools, we're unscientific. When we suggest marital and extramarital sex damage lives, and that it's God's will that sexual activity be limited to the marital relationship, we're called old-fashioned. We're out of touch. When we uphold the truth that Jesus alone is the world's Savior, and without Jesus there is no salvation, then the world calls us. We're the unloving, we're the intolerant ones. And you know, in some Muslim countries, we would be imprisoned, perhaps even executed. Dear people of God, listen. Listen to these words of Paul. They are just as true for us today as they were when Paul first addressed them to Timothy. So let us continue to preach God's word and always hear these words. You are forgiven of all of your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.